Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you're watching. Oh man, in my infinite search for just looking at car content and stuff like that, I came across a video that, I don't want to say it pissed me off, but it caused some concern for me, right? Because it was talking about why you run E85 and E85 is saving the environment because it's made from corn and all that kind of shit, right? Well, I want to educate my audience and those who don't know and understand. And he was saying that like E85 is better than race gas because it's because race gas is expensive. And to a certain extent, he's right. But what that really means and what running E85 really means is this. It's not necessarily simple, but the basics of it is this. You run E85, before I get into that, you run a higher octane fuel or gas in your car because octane is a resistance against knock, right? So what knock is basically like, it sounds exactly like you think. I know I still remember this, but there was a guy at Seymour Johnson who drove like an M5 with a V10 M5. And you can hear like this like high-pitched pinging noise whenever you started the car. It was just like ping, 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 ping. That's knock, right? And what it is your engine is knocking, which means it's gonna throw a rod because you're not running the higher octane gas. You're supposed to run 93 and he was running 87. And it's just as simple as that. So when you're running an engine with more timing, you introduce more, you run the risk of more knock, right? So when you advance the timing, you can get more knock. So you have to run a higher octane fuel in your car. E85 allows you more knock resistance because the octane rating is higher. But what the guy on TikTok was mostly saying about was that when you do that, like E85 is cheaper than 93. At the moment, that's very true. Like pump E85 is like definitely cheaper in some places than 93. I know when I was in Atlanta this past week, a couple days ago when I was in Atlanta, E85 was cheaper than 89 or 87, just regular gas, which I thought was wild because E85 has never been cheaper. But that's just what it is. And plus, like the car that I daily drive is a flex fuel car anyway, so I could have used E85. I was in Atlanta, I was trying to get back home in the middle of the night, and I didn't want any problems because I've never ran E85 in this car anyway. So I just didn't want no problems. So I just did what I normally do. But he was saying that E85 is cheaper, which it is today. In some places it's cheaper, some it's about the same price or a little bit more expensive. But the reason why you run E85 versus like the reason why you will run VP racing fuel or the reason why you will run a gas from a company like VP or Ignite or whatever, you know, wherever you choose to get it is mostly for consistency. Like it's 90% for consistency, right? So when you get it out of a barrel, a 5 gallon barrel, 55 gallon drum, whatever the case may be, wherever you get it from, that whole barrel, like every time you fill it up, it's gonna be E85, or it's gonna be E90, or it's gonna have the exact same octane rating across the board, regardless. So it's like when you're running $30,000-$40,000 race engines, you want consistency when it comes to your fuel, right? Because you want to make that power every single time. The difference is when you get pump E85, it could be E85, it could be E60 that day, it could be E55, it could be E70. It just all depends, right? And then even if you mix it with premium gas, it's like that lowers your octane rating anyway. So you could be running like E55 and you could, you know what I'm saying? So like the consistency isn't there, which is why you have a flex fuel sensor on your car when you run E85 from the pump or just E85 in general, because you want to make sure that your octane rating, that you actually running E85 so that you can have the best possible tune on your car and you can make the most power possible, right? That's the whole purpose of that. But I asked the question, like, I don't feel like any fuel is better. Like, if you run a C16 or 100 octane. Like, you're running those octane ratings for a reason, right? Like you, your tuner, your engine builder, y'all have come to an agreement and an understanding that this is what you're building the engine for, and this is the power that you're trying to make. So this is the fuel that you know what I'm saying, with the fuel you want to run. So you've already made that decision, and like, you're just sticking with that. And they have plenty of gas options. Like, there's plenty. Like, I know Sunoco has all of them under the sun. I know VP Racing and Ignite, they have E90, E85, leaded race fuel. They have all, like, so you can run anything you want, but I don't want to say anyone is better than the other. Like, C16 is better than E90. Like, no, like, you can run whatever it is you want to run. You just have to, like, if you're running like a high strong race engine, it's like, you've already factored in all of those factors when it comes to your engine build. And so it doesn't even matter, like, whether E85 at the pump is cheaper or not. Like, for us guys who run on the street and we're just, like, you know, doing, like, flex fuel conversions and just trying to make a little bit more power, like, yeah, that's cool and all. But it's like, once you get to a certain level, like, you want that consistency more so than anything. And consistency is what matters in racing. And I think a lot of times when it comes to the internet, people just start spewing out stuff just for content's sake. And I think, like, they just get caught up in this whole, I need to make content things, and they just start talking shit about whatever, and not necessarily even, not saying they don't know, but not explaining fully to, like, their audience about what exactly is going on. Like, Unicorn versus the World has come back, and they're using, the driver is Ken Block's 14-year-old daughter, which I think is dope. And they met, like, in the first episode, they were running up against a 4,000 horsepower NHRA drag car, which is just insane, which I knew that wasn't going to end well for the drag car because it's on a no-prep surface, and it's just not going to do well. It's going to overpower the track 100%, like it did. And for the simple fact that, like, they had a VP Racing, that car runs on methanol, and it runs on methanol because it has no intercoolers, and methanol is literally runs cooler anyway. So that's the same thing. Like, I know Cletus McFarlane, like, his El Camino is running on methanol now, and, you know, his has an intercooler because he still drives on the street and it's a race week car. So obviously that's, like, still a thing, but methanol cools as it burns. It burns cooler than gas. So it just makes sense to do that. And they've already figured that out. And that was something that the engine builder and the tuner have come to a conclusion that this is probably the best option for these reasons here, and not like, oh, well, this is the most cost effective. Because I think once you get past a certain point, like, once you build $100,000+ race car, it's like the money isn't really a problem. It's just like, you want consistency. Like, you want to get down the track every single time and make consistent power every single time. And, like, I think that's something that people keep forgetting when it comes to, like, race cars and building cars in general. It's like, people want consistency. And there was a video on Lone Star Drift. I think it's Aaron from Lone Star Drift. He had a video with the guy from Rad Industries, and he was talking about two Jay-Z's and how they keep blowing up, how people keep over revving them. And the messed up part about it is, like, these people, they are overlooking a huge part of why these engines are blowing up. And that is a frustration for me, because it's like, you don't learn from your mistakes. And these two Jay-Z's, especially, like, these ones from these Aristos and Supers, like, they're not in an infinite supply. So it's like, for a drifter to blow up 7 in a season, like, that's wild. Like, that's 7 gone that they're probably scrapping and not even rebuilding, right? The 7 blocks that they're just, like, to the junkyard you go, or sitting in the corner of a shop. But what I'm saying is, it's like, you can learn from your mistakes, right? And that's not something that necessarily happens a lot when it comes to people in our, on this side of the community, because, like, there are people, like, one guy blew up 7 SRs, and it's like, why are you blowing up SRs? And it's not always the engine. It's like, it's usually an oiling issue. I know the issue with the two Jay-Z, just to recap the video, was oiling problems. They were running front sumps, and They were spinning bearings. They were revving 3.2 strokers, 3.2 liter strokers and 3.4 liter strokers to 9,000 RPM. And it's like everybody knows that when you stroke a motor, you don't rev it to the same as it was before. Like stroker motors don't rev as high. And that's just how that goes. I mean, that's like a, like people know that. I mean, they should know that. That's not rocket science, man. That's not something that's like new. A lot of times, man, they have plenty of videos online of like when you pull that stroke down, it's like the pistons are rock in the cylinder at the bottom, and it'll destroy your motor. Like that is normal shit. Like to me, I don't understand that, because I'm like, you stroking a motor and then you revving it. Like of course you create more stress. You don't rev it as high. Like duh, that's a normal thing. I mean, to me, it's normal, and you would think that people would understand that, but that's clearly not the case. And I just don't understand. Like people, I think what it is people understand that, but I think they overlook it because they overlook it for the sake of time, right? So it's like people be under the gun, and I think that's something that needs to stop in Formula Drift. It's like people being under the gun and not taking their time and taking this shit seriously enough to learn from their mistakes and learn why things are the way they are. Because there are people who have 650 horsepower, 2JZs on the stock bottom end that just run all day, every day. But it's like people are so high up on, we got to run this to 1,200 horsepower, and then we're trying to keep up with the competition instead of just like lowering the horsepower, even lowering the rev range, and you know, doing something better and doing a better tune. But because people are under the gun, they got sponsorship obligations and things like that, they forget that, you know, they forget the basics. They forget to do the basics of just, you know, engine maintenance and engine tuning and engine building. So I mean, I think that's all it is. And I think like I think a lot of people in the drift community and just like these, I don't want to say like amateur communities, because I'm not a professional, but I think like I watch a lot of things and I absorb a lot of knowledge to prevent me from having to do a lot of things over and over and over, right? And sitting here like scratching my head to why something is the way it is. But I think that we can learn from, I think there's a lot to be learned from these old school muscle car guys, because they went through a lot of these same issues that we're going through right now on the tuner side that can be prevented if we just consulted them and understood the knowledge that they got. Because I mean, everybody knows, like, if your engine's not getting enough oil, you're gonna spin a bearing. Like that's on any motor, right? That doesn't matter if it's a V8, a V12. If it's not getting enough oil, you're gonna spin a bearing, right? So you can consult like people who've been through this and people who built these motors for years and built motors in general for years and understand that and understand their knowledge and apply that to a 2JZ, a SR, or any of these like Japanese motors, or even consult the people in Japan who've been building these motors forever and, you know, figure out how to prevent these from blowing up. But I don't have the funds to just sit here and just rebuild a motor every time it blows up. Like I just don't. So like it has to be not necessarily perfect for me, but it definitely has to be better than I just blew it up this time and I'll just rebuild it because what the fuck ever. Like that's not an option for me. Like I need my car to drive for an extended period of time. I need to put 40,000 miles on my car. Like that's like I need it to be reliable. And I think that's something that's missing from our side. It's like because we think that like certain people at the top of the sport, or even at the top of like, if you want to call it like top of the culture, right? They just like, all right, well, I'm just gonna blow it up, or they're gonna LS swap, and then they blow up an LS, and it's like, yo, like stop expecting top results from half-ass effort, you know? And I think that's something that's gonna like be a huge killer in our culture, is a lot of people building these fucking cars with half-ass effort, but expecting top results from it, and then wondering why their shit's fucking up. And I hate to say it, but rushing your bill is something that's going to cost you in the end. And I think that's something that comes down to the business of sponsorships, is you get put under the gun, so you rushing to build something, and then you cut corners. And when you go to an event, you blow up your motor, and now it's like, what happened? I don't understand why this happened to me. Well, yeah, you should understand why this happened to you. You cut corners. Like, this is how that goes. And so it is what it is, man. And I know that, like, there are things that happen all over the place in, like, different parts of, like, drift community and just, like, tuna culture and all that type of stuff. But it's like, if you look at certain teams and you understand that, like, their engines are reliable for a certain reason, like, that RTR team with Vaughn and Chelsea, well, now Adam LZ and Chelsea, and Vaughn behind the scenes, they run 900 horsepower, 1200 horsepower on a regular basis with nitrous, and those engines are proven, right? They've worked those things out. Roush Yates has worked those RY45s out, and they just work, right? So it's like, why not just do something that works? But, you know, there are certain people in the community who will just continue to do things, and they'll continue to be lax about it and, you know, waiting till the last minute to build a pro drift car or build a time attack car and then just watch it explode and be like, I don't understand why this is happening to me. But you never know, man. On another note, back to this Hoonigan. Hoonigan versus the World is back with a 14-year-old driver, which I think is dope. And I think, like, this whole, I think with Ken Block's daughter being a part of this, I think it's cool because we'll see more Ken Block than we usually do on the Hoonigan channel, which I think is a good thing. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen with that Camaro. Like, they showed, like, a little bit of it for SEMA, but it wasn't nothing crazy. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen with, like, the project cars. I want to see I want to see Hertz Corolla with the ITVs. I want to see that run. I'm excited to see, like, what's going to happen, like, upcoming this year. I do know that, I don't say I have a problem with it, but there are cars that race no prep that will destroy the Hoonicorn, right? Like, we all know some cars. Like, there are people around the internet, like, that will destroy the Hoonicorn. But I was thinking about it, and I don't think that necessarily makes good content to see the Hoonicorn lose, right? I mean, every now and then, yeah. But I think it'll get stale too to always see the Hoonicorn win. So I think there's like there needs to be like a balance struck. I don't think Dauntmaster is going to have a car that can beat the Hoonicorn. Like, I just don't see that happening. Not on the no prep surface. I do think that like some no prep cars will beat him, no doubt. No doubt about it. But I just don't believe that, like, every car that they put on there, like, I knew that NHRA car was going to overpower the track. I mean, it is what it is. They race on the prep surface. It's a 4,000 horsepower quarter mile car, and it's going to overpower the circuit. I mean, it's going to overpower the track anyway. This is how that works. But you never know, man. And so we'll see. Hopefully, like, they change it up and actually do some competition that's, like, really close. But I think for content's sake, I think that the Hoonicorn is going to win a majority of the races that it runs. And I think that the cars that they're going to have on there will be interesting. But I don't believe that it's going to be that interesting. And I don't believe that, you know, I like the Hoonicorn and the twin turbo aspect of it. And I like the fact that it doesn't have any sponsors on it other than Hoonigan. So it's basically just an all Hoonigan car, which is really cool. But you never know, man. We'll see what happens. I think that having his daughter as a driver is like a huge experience, especially for like girls. I know my daughter is like very into cars, and like she would see that and be like, yo, that's dope that you know what I'm saying, just like some female representation is just cool in general for, you know what I'm saying, for the young generation. So we'll see what happens, man. But let me get going. Thank y'all for listening. Also, I did my Spotify rap, and this will be episode 10. And I appreciate everybody who listens, man, and keep sharing and keep liking and keep listening. I appreciate it. Thanks.